John 3:16, a familiar scripture verse, and again, I've entitled this today, this lesson, A New Commandment. And actually, the series of messages is entitled Love, the Greatest Thing. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he did what? He gave. So right away here, you can see a characteristic of love. Love gives. So just what I was saying before, if your heart loves God, you give. Love gives. And so it says here, he gave what? His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And one of the things, let's want to make a point here. Let's go over to, before we go to John 13, let's go to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. And let's look at verse 7. Because I want to make a point here about the love of God. And you might say, well, I can't love like God to the world. It's hard for me. Okay. So we're going to make some effort to explain. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7. It says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And that word love is the Greek word agape, or sometimes they pronounce it agape, is really more a more accurate rendition of it. And that's the noun. You know, we talk about nouns and verbs in English. The noun is agape, and the verb, the action of it, is agapeo. That's the verb. And I'm going to show you that so you can see in the scripture this word here. It says, for love is of God, is agape. That's the noun of that. It's not an action there. It says, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God. That word loveth there is agapeo. It's the verb. It's an action. So when you love one another, you agapeo. You love, and you're loving like God, but it's the verb. And knoweth God. But the point here I want to make is that everyone that loveth is born of God. You cannot love like God unless you're born again. You cannot. It's not possible. Can't happen. And here's the Living Bible of this particular verse that we just read. It says, dear friends, let us practice. I love this. Let us practice loving each other. Let us practice loving each other, for love comes from God, and those who are loving and kind show that they are the children of God and that they are getting to know him better. Back up just a chapter there in chapter 3 of 1 John. Go to chapter 3 and look at verse 14. We're talking about if you love like God, it says those that love are born of God. Everyone that loveth, or agapeo, is born of God. Look at verse 14 of chapter 3. It says, we know that we have passed from what? Death unto life. Why do we know that? Because we love, that word is agapeo, it's the action of love. We love the brethren. He that agapeo, he that loveth not his brother abideth in death. So in order for you to love your brother, you have to be, you have to, it says here, pass from death unto life. What does that mean? God has come into residence here now. What does it say? It says in Romans 5:5, it says that the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. So the moment that we become, what does it say in 2 Corinthians 5:17? Any man that's in Christ is a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. What's new? The love of God. And so when you think about it, anybody who's been, you know, a certain age, or you've traveled around, you've come from other countries, you've seen, you've been exposed to other religions, what is the one mark, the one difference? Christianity is different from Hinduism, from Islam, any religion you can think of and name. What's the one difference? The love of God. Because Jesus was raised from the dead, and the scripture says God is love. I don't say that about any other head of any other religion. It doesn't say that. And our God was raised from the dead. And he has come and taken up residence in me. So if God is love and God is in me, then love is in me. Now, if love is in me, and you go, well, I sure have a hard time showing it. Well, the first thing is, it's like Brother Hagin used to say, if you can't love your brother, then you're not saved. And he said, most times, it's not really that you're not saved, it's that your flesh is actually dominating, and you just say, I'm not going to like that. I don't like that person. I don't like that. Well, let me ask a question. Does God like all the goofy stuff you do? No. Does he still love you? Yes, he does. And so the point is, we have to look at the characteristics of love. The first one says, charity suffereth long. Sometimes God suffers real long with us and is patient and kind. And so we have to love not because we feel like loving someone, but because we choose to. We choose to love, and we will love them not because we feel like loving someone, but because we make a choice to. We're going to love them not based on our feelings, because your feelings are fickle. And so, here's another scripture in 1 John chapter 3, verse 23. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. That means you're what? You're born again. And love one another. That word love is agapeo again. It's the action. As he gave us commandment. So now we can turn over. Let's go back now to John 13. Let's go back to the Gospel of John, and let's look at verse 13, 34 and 35 in John 13. So we've established this point, this fact here from the scripture, that you must be born again. You must have your nature changed in order to love like God. It's not possible. Those that have passed from death unto life love the brethren. They agapeo. And I can tell you, anybody who's accepted Christ or has God's nature into them, come into them, what happened? I know for me, I started just, you know, some people say it this way, you got soft. You know what I mean? You started liking people you didn't like before. Well, because love took up residence. God came inside. And so people that you didn't get along with before, now you got along with, or you got along better. Now look at verse 34. It says in John 13, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. That word is agapeo. It's the verb. That you agapeo one another as I have agapeo loved you. So God took an action. He just didn't sit back in heaven and go, I love you. No, he sent Jesus to this earth. He agapeoed. He gave us his only begotten son. He did something. That's the action, right? As I have loved you, that you also agapeo one another. You don't just say, I love you, praise the Lord. No, he says, you love as I loved you. You agapeo as I agapeoed. That's what he's saying. And by this, verse 35, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love, and this here, one to another, if you have agape, love one to another. So it's the noun here. Verse 34, in the American Standard Version, it says that you love one another as I have loved you. This is the King James, but the American Standard Version, when somebody says, as I have loved you, you could say, even as I have loved you. Now, I like this. The Complete Jewish Bible says, in the same way. That's another way to say it. When he says, as I have loved you, you could say, in the same exact way that I loved you, you're to go and love one another. And so when we all look at that, it's for us to look at and say, am I doing that? If we're not, then that's where, what do we get done reading in Proverbs, how is the righteous delivered? Through their lips. And so this is how we begin to walk in the God kind of love. I begin to say, I walk in love. I am going to love people like God loved me. And I begin to say it every day. And that word begins to change me. The word begins to change my thinking. And now I'm not controlled by my feelings. Now, let's go back to 1 John again. 1 John 4. 1 John chapter 4. And I want to look at verse 8. We looked at verse 7. I want to look at verse 8. I'm going to read verse 7 and then pick up at verse 8 again. In 1 John chapter 4, it says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth, agapeo, is born of God and knoweth God. Verse 8, he that loveth, that's the verb, agapeo, still talking about the love of God and his very nature, but it's the action. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. That's the noun, agape. Look at verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved, what would you think that is? That's an action, that's the verb, agapeo. If he so loved us, we ought also to love, that's the verb, one another. We ought also to love one another. Why? Because he loved us. Look at verse 16. in that chapter. It says, and we have known and believed the love. That's not an action there. We have believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. It's agape, not agapeo. It's not an action. It's a noun. And he that dwelleth in love, that's not an action, dwelleth in God and God in him. See, so he that dwelleth in God, God dwells in us. So God is love, and he that dwelleth what? In love dwelleth in God, and God in him. So one way to start changing our thinking is to start just saying a simple confession, God lives in me. And because God is love, love lives in me. God's very nature lives in me, and I love like God loves. And you start saying that. You start meditating on that. You start thinking about that. That's where we start. So love is the characteristic of a Christian. It is the characteristic. So true Christianity is love. It is love. It's being like the Master. Now let's go back to the Gospel of John, chapter 15. John 15. And let's look at this particular chapter. It talks about the vine and abiding in the vine. And you can look at this starting in verse 9. We're familiar with the first 8 verses. But let's look at chapter 15, starting in verse 9. It says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. That's the noun. Now look at this. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide where? In my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this. Then a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you my friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Verse 17, these things, he says it again, these things I command you that ye do what? Love, or agapeo, this action, that you love one another. So he commands us to love one another. Now God is a just God and he's a righteous God, and he doesn't give us something to do or command. Think of it this way, just even in the natural, you wouldn't ask somebody to do something if you didn't know they had the ability to do it, or they had all of the qualities and the things. If you gave an employee an assignment to do something, you'd give them all the tools necessary to do the job. Otherwise, that'd be unjust. That'd be cruel. That'd be like Pharaoh. He said, you know, he got a bug up in his backside, and he said, take away all the straw, take away everything, and still make more brick. That's cruel. So you wouldn't tell somebody to do something if they didn't have all of the tools necessary to do it. And what does it say? Every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variableness, no shadow of turning. He's given us everything. So when he says, I command you to love, we have the ability to love. We can love like he loves, but we choose not to. Because what? Of our feelings. We don't like this person. They did something to me. They said something to me. And so I'm just going to give them a piece of my flesh and not love them. But that's not God's way. And that's where we have to grow. We have to grow a little bit. So this was something that I wrote down, saw this was a good way of explaining it. It said, we receive the love, the agape, this is the noun, we receive the love of God so that we can show his agape love as we agapeo others. So we've received the love so that we can show and we can agapeo others. We can love others as he agapeoed us. So we've received his love so that we can love others. How? Like he did. He gave his only begotten son. So we have that ability to do that. So this love, and here's the difference. You know, there's a lot of words for love in the Greek. You have, when he asked, who was it? Was it Peter? When he said, Peter, do you love me? If you look up the word, it means phileo. It means friendship. And Peter says, yes, I love you. That word love was phileo. Yes, you're my friend. I love you as a friend, as a brother. It's brotherly love. And Jesus, after about three times, he said, what did he keep saying? Peter, do you love me? And he said, yeah, you're my friend. I love you, my brother. And he was trying to get him to see, do you love me like I love you? And here's the thing, he couldn't. He had no understanding because at that point, they were not born again. So they had not received the nature of God in them. They couldn't. He had no understanding of that. So his understanding was, I love you as my brother. Of course I do. See? But we can't say that. He's living in us. God lives in me. And if God lives in me, then love lives in me. His very nature lives in me. It lives in me. And when you look at John, and I just reference it, what is John 13:35? By this what? By this love shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. So that's going to be the defining mark of Christianity, is the love of God. And it says, by this all men shall know. It didn't say all Christians will know. It said all men, all people will know that you are my disciples because of your love one for another. And obviously it should start in the church. But unfortunately, we hear from people in the world, church is a joke. Because you go in there and it's cliquey, it's clannish, people bite and but devour and gossip. That's not a good witness, and that's not the love of God. It's not the love of God. So what is it? Men see something, but it's not the love of God. They see some things. And so this agape, this God kind of love, is not selfish, and it's unconditional love. No conditions. You know how we go in the world? You can have this insurance policy, except you can't have this, 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 and this. Preconditions. I thank God that he didn't hold my sin against me as a condition. No conditions. Unconditional love, no conditions. He doesn't say, well, I'll forgive you for that, but not for that. And you have done that. I'm tired of you. I've been waiting 35 years for you to correct that silly thing that you do, and blah, blah, blah. He doesn't say that. He doesn't hold that against us. Thank God. Yes. Right? But I will say this. At some point, he's asking us to grow. To grow. Change. So now let's look at 1 Corinthians 13. Because this is really where we want to land. Right? 1 Corinthians 13. And you know what's interesting about 1 Corinthians 13? If you look at who he's speaking to, he's speaking to the Corinthian church, who was a church that was what? Born again, spirit-filled. The gifts of the Spirit are operating in them. And look where this chapter is. It's between chapter 12 and chapter 14. Talking about the gifts of the Spirit. Talking about them praying in the Spirit and so forth. But they had some things going on that he needed to address. Now, I'm going to read these 13 verses. And then I'm just going to read something from the Amplified. But now if you can follow along in the King James, if you have that, follow along in whatever translation you have. But chapter 13, it says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity. That word charity there again is agape. It's the noun. It's love. But it's talking about the love of God. So he's talking about being able to speak with the tongues of men and of angels. And if you don't operate in love, it says, I'm become as sounding brass and tinkling and a tinkling cymbal. Look at verse 2. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries, not some, all mysteries, and this is inclusive here, and all knowledge, and though I have what? All faith, not just some faith. Some of us are just saying, I just want to operate in a little faith. He said here, if you have all faith and can remove mountains, but if you don't have love, he says, you are nothing. Boy, that's a strong statement. And then he goes, he continues, and it's inclusive here. He's not separating this. He's saying, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I what? I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profits me nothing. No profit in it. Verse 4, charity, and this is the word love. Love suffereth long, and you could say, and charity is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. These are just words that we don't use anymore, and we'll explain. It just means to be rash. But vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Love's not puffed up. Love does not behave itself unseemly. Love seeks not her own. Love is not easily provoked. Boy, we could stay right there for a while. Love. Maybe you don't get provoked. God bless you. But if you live in this flesh, you have to disconnect that provoke button. And it says, love does what? Thinketh no evil. Love rejoices not in iniquity. Love rejoices in the truth. Love beareth all things. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. And love endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity or love. Let me read verses 4 through 8 in the Amplified. It says, love endures long and is patient and kind. Love is never envious nor boils over with jealousy. Love is not boastful or vainglorious. Love does not display itself haughtily. Love is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. Love is not rude or unmannerly and does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way. For it is not self-seeking, it is not touchy or fretful or resentful. Boy, you could stop there. It takes no account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. It does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes. Is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. Love never fails, never fades out, or becomes obsolete, or comes to an end. As for prophecy, the gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose, it will be fulfilled and pass away. As for tongues, they will be destroyed and cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away, it will lose its value, and be superseded by truth. So, one of the things that we're going to do, and something that this author, Henry Drummond, made a statement, which I thought was a very insightful statement. When we talk about faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is love, he made a statement here. He said, love is greater than faith. He said, why is love greater than faith? This was his question. Why is love greater than faith? And he said, because the end, or love, is greater than the means, or faith. So that's very powerful. The means, faith, gets us to love. So the means to get to God or love cannot be greater than the whole. And I thought, that's insightful. So we talk about faith, we highlight faith, but Scripture says faith worketh by love. So love is greater, and that's what it says here. Faith, or the means in order to love, or the end. So love is greater than faith. The means to love cannot be greater than the whole. It cannot be. And therein lies what he shares, he points out. He said, here's where you can see that comment or that insight. He said in 1 Corinthians 13:2, and though I have all faith, that would be having, you know, I've got all faith and I can remove mountains and have not charity. So the means cannot be greater than the whole. It can't be. Faith cannot be greater than God. It's the means to get to God. It's the means to get to love. It can't be greater than love. Love is greater. See, and this is where when we talk about, and I'm tying together that comment this morning, I wasn't thinking about it, but when we love God, we do something. When we love, we agapeo, we love people. When we love God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and you love people, and you love his people and his things and his work, you agapeo, you do something, you act. You don't just say, I love you. He didn't shout from heaven, I love you, my people. I'm so in love with you. He sent Jesus. He agapeoed. He did something. And so when we love God, we do something. We love people, and we give into the work of God so that the work of God can touch people. That's why when we talk about, well, I'll give you my little quarter in the offering, how does the work of God touch people? It's touched through the church and the work of the church. I hope that doesn't step on anybody's toes, but I'm just telling you that the work of God is done through the church, the local church. And so when we squeeze things, how does the church reach the community? How does it touch people? It can't. And sometimes it's because of our stinginess, and we don't agapeo. We don't love with action. See? And I don't mean to step on anybody now, but it's so anyhow. We have to we've got to operate in the love of God. So the means to God, this is what he wrote in his book, this little book, the means to God is not greater than God. Cannot be. The means to get to God is not greater than God. So I'm going to read something. This was from the book Sparkling Gems. And Rick Renner spent about 3 or 4 days in the daily devotional. And he shared what he called an interpretive translation of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 8. And because he's a Greek scholar, he took not just, sometimes we all can look up a Greek word in the Strong's Concordance. You can go online, strongs.com, you can go look it up, you get a Strong's Concordance, you can look up a Greek word. That's great. So they give you some definitions. I'm not a Greek scholar. So we just take things at face value, just like you might go to Merriam-Webster, dictionary.com, you look up a word, right? But somebody who understands words understands that it's made up of the etymology of a word. They understand it's compounded maybe with two words. They understand the etymology of that word. Where did it come from? Was it a French word? Was it an Arab word? Where did that word come from? Well, he understands the Greek. What does that really mean? What's the intent of that word? Who's he speaking to in that verse? And so this is exactly, he said, this was an interpretive translation, more of an expanded translation, of verses 4 through 8. I tell you, this is great. It's, to me, probably the best translation of this from things that I've read. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. This was by Rick Renner. Love patiently and passionately bears with others as long as patience is needed. Ooh. See, when we say charity suffereth long, we go, oh, that's nice. But the way he wrote it, he said, love patiently and passionately bears with others for as long as patience is needed. Love doesn't demand others to be like itself. Rather, it is so focused on the needs of others that it bends over backwards to become what others need it to be. I'll tell you, by the time you get done this, you'll go, I'm not doing this. Not like I should. I'm serious. Love is not ambitious, self-centered, and so consumed with itself that it never thinks of the needs or desires that others possess. You know, the whole world says we need to be ambitious, and everything that the world promotes is self-centered. Be your own man, be your own woman, self-centered. And you're so self-centered, you ignore the needs of other people. That's not what Jesus, that's not the love of God. That's not love. I mean, anybody who goes into New York City, people walk over people. You could lay there and be dying, and they just walk right over you. They ignore the needs of other people. That's not love. Love doesn't go around talking about itself all the time, constantly exaggerating and embellishing the facts to make it look more important in the sight of others. I'll tell you, by the time you get done hearing this, God will use this translation to shine a mirror or a light on our lives and say, am I doing that or not? Am I talking about myself and exaggerating myself to build myself up to look more important in the eyes of others? Love does not behave in a prideful, arrogant, haughty, superior, snooty, snobbish, or clannish manner. Love is not rude or discourteous. It is not careless or thoughtless, nor does it carry on in a fashion that would be considered insensitive to others. Love does not manipulate situations or scheme and devise methods that will twist situations to its own advantage. Love does not deliberately engage in actions or speak words that are so sharp they cause an ugly or violent response. Love does not deliberately keep records of wrongs or past mistakes. That means you got to throw that diary away. Love does not feel overjoyed when it sees an injustice done to someone else, but is elated, thrilled, and ecstatic and overjoyed with the truth. Here's a good one. Love protects, shields, guards, covers, conceals, and safeguards people from exposure. That means we're not gossiping about people. Love strains forward with all its might to believe the very best in every situation. Love always expects and anticipates the best in others and the best for others. Love never quits, never surrenders, and never gives up. Love never disappoints, never fails, and never lets anyone down. So after we hear these verses, are we walking in the God kind of love? And I would encourage you, if you're going to download Sparkling Gems 1, he goes over these on September, I think it's page 675, September 11th, 12th, 13th. He goes over all of these verses. So you can you can see it and jot it down and so forth. If you don't want to buy the book, get this CD, write it down, type it out, post that, look at that. Am I doing that? And if I'm coming up short, make an adjustment. I just say it this way. If we're not measuring up in a particular area, ask God for forgiveness. Say, you know what, Lord? I desire to do better. I'm not doing this like I should. Are we manifesting this type of love to others who are around us? Now, I'm just going to close with this one thing here. Before Brother Hagin went home to be with the Lord. He went home to be with the Lord in 2003 in September. But one of the last times he was at Redeeming Love Christian Center in Nanuet. He had come 7 or 8, 9 times. He had come over the years to the church, which was very unusual. He didn't do that with a lot of churches. So there was something about Redeeming Love. He came. And his last messages, I know the last time he came, he spent about 3 or 4 days teaching on the love of God. Some of you may remember that were there. But that was his theme. He was talking on the love of God. And one of his last sermons, this is what he said. He said, you need to read 1 Corinthians 13 every day. I'm telling you what he said. You need to read 1 Corinthians 13 every day. He went on to say that if you read 1 Corinthians 13 every day and walk in the God kind of love, he said that 3 things would happen. Number 1, you will find that sickness will flee away and your health will spring forth speedily. This is what he said. You walk in the love of God, your health will spring forth and sickness will flee away. Why? Sickness and disease can't stay where the love of God is. That's God, his nature. Sickness can't stay and inhabit the same place. It cannot. Number 2, you will find that the devil that has been harassing you and tormenting you will flee from you. Number 2. Number 3, this is what Brother Hagin said. You will find that the provision and financial blessing that you've been believing for will come. So those 3 things, he said, you walk in the love of God and you read 1 Corinthians 13 every day. He said these 3 things will happen. You will find that sickness will flee away and your health will spring forth speedily. Number 2, you will find that the devil that has been harassing you and tormenting you will flee from you. And you will find that the provision and financial blessing that you've been believing for will come. So he said, read it every day. Make your home where you live, heaven on earth. And you can. How? You love one another. Love between husband and wife, between children and family. And that place will become heaven on earth. And the things, you will become a beacon of light to the people around you. So I just what I encouraged us, you know, and I started this after the first of the year in Nanuet. I started this at the last Sunday in 2017. I'm not asking you to read 1 Corinthians 13 every day. What I'm asking you to do is read it every day. Well, let me rephrase that. I am asking you to read it every day, just for the next 3 months. Because if you can get by the next 3 months and you do it every day, you'll do it after that. So I'm asking you to make a commitment like I did in Nanuet. Make a commitment that I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 13 every day, at least once a day. And you meditate in it, and you speak it, that God lives in me. Love lives in me, and I love people like God loves people. And you make a commitment to do that every day for 3 months, 90 days. Do that for 90 days, and I'll guarantee you, you will not be the same. It'll change you from the inside out. It'll change your thinking. It'll change the way you interact with people. And I guarantee you that if you do that, you're going to see victory and success in your life. You will. It's going to be a different year for you. Why? Because you love, like God loves. Think about it. What does Joshua 1:8 say? This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. So God lives in me. His love is in me. And I love people. And you meditate on that. You talk it. You speak it. And that's what it says. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but they'll what? Thou shalt meditate on it day and night, and you observe to do, you agapeo, you observe to do all that is written therein, then you'll make your way prosperous and have good success. That's just what Brother Hagin said. If you observe to do, you will be prosperous and have good success. The things that we look for in life, it's in the love of God. Loving people. And that's what God is wanting to do. He wants to touch this world supernaturally with his nature and through us. Amen. I'm done today. So this is just the start. Then the next four lessons, we're going to talk about what is love, those characteristics. Charity suffereth long and is patient and kind and so forth. It envies not. It vaunteth not itself. I don't know what vaunted means, but anyways, it's... I guess if you were from 100 years ago, you know what it meant, right? But it's interesting, you know, in just this last lesson that I was teaching in Nanuet, it said, love beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Now, when you read beareth, you know, you conjure up the way we use words today is not what that means. Beareth actually in the Greek means to cover like a roof and protect and not expose yourself to the elements. If you have a roof, you're not exposed to the elements. Well, love beareth, it covers and protects. But you read it and just read right over it. Boy, I tell you, I learned something through it. I said, wow, look at that. And that's coming from Rick Renner, who understands what those Greek words mean. But when they were translated, they didn't do that. That's why sometimes reading an amplified version or something that's an expanded translation helps us understand what that actually means. Praise the Lord.